non-Christians alike. St. Augustine called it the perfect standard for Christian living. Pope St. John Paul II referred to it as the Christian Magna Carta, and Pope Francis calls them the blueprints for holiness. Well, obviously, if you haven't guessed it, I'm talking about the Beatitudes, which we just heard. And it's interesting because we've all heard them so many times, right? We're so familiar with them. What more could be said about them? I thought the same thing as I was preparing this homily. I thought, I've heard this, I've read this many times. I know what this is all about. But even though we've used this scripture reading at weddings and funerals very routinely, I found as I study this scripture that there was much more to these than just the words that we're so familiar with. That if you take a little time and reflect on each one of the Beatitudes, you really discover how significant they are to all of us as Christians and as disciples of the Lord. The Beatitudes turn the world's values upside down. If you just spend some time with it, they're very countercultural, and that's very difficult for a lot of us to accept because we're so molded by what society dictates. Jesus suggests that we follow a path through life which does contradict virtually every message society sends us and how we should live and what we should do in order to be happy. Just consider some of the television ads or social media today. What kind of messages do they send us? What are the values? Cars, clothing, sex, money, physical beauty. I even heard a commercial where the announcer said, "Make this the year of me." It's all about the individual. It seems like happiness lies in instant gratification and superficial desires. So what's missing in this picture? Today, Jesus does offer us a very different picture, a different way of navigating through life. And it's not through the power, the strength, or the beauty that the media and advertisement seems to dictate. The Beatitudes are the very essence of Jesus' teachings. And once again, if you look at them, he turns everything that we do, everything that we know today, upside down. And each one of them could virtually merit a homily on their own, but I won't attempt that, even though Father Tim and Father Dennis probably would like me to take a homily for each one. But I was struck at how beautiful and how each beatitude seemingly draws me into the next one, how they're interrelated and depend on one another, yet they could each stand on their own merit. How often have we experienced a challenge or setback in our lives where we acknowledge that we just can't do it alone? It's in those difficult moments that we admit our need for God, our dependence on God. It's that conversion moment when we realize that all we are and all that we have is from God. And in those moments, those experiences, we begin to know ourselves as poor in spirit because we depend on God and no one else. It's in our humility we become increasingly aware of our own sinfulness, and we mourn the loss of innocence and grieve the terrible injustices that occur in our world. Mourning over our own sinfulness, our awareness of them, heightens our sensitivity to others who also suffer, and we comfort them, and as we comfort them, we are also comforted. As we continue to become more aware of our dependence on God, we discover the arrogance of our own self-sufficiency, and that gives way to a sense of meekness. And so we live humbly and treat others with kindness, modeling ourselves after Christ the servant, who came to serve and not be served. I think this one is important particularly for me as a deacon, because we are the icons of Christ the servant, who came to serve and not be served. So for my ministry as a deacon, it has a strong impact. But it's not just for me. We're all called to serve one another. So this has an impact on all of you as well. To hunger for righteousness is to act on our deep desire to see love, justice, and peace flourish in our families and in our neighborhoods. And as we live our lives in an ethical and moral manner with integrity and honesty, we bring about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus often speaks about. In thinking less about ourselves, we become merciful to others. Blessed are those who show mercy, especially those who are in need of our forgiveness. Extending that mercy to others leads to healing within ourselves. To be clean of heart or to have a pure heart continues to recognize that dependence on God. So there's that theme of dependence again, and how that calls for our response as we serve one another. As she ministered to the poorest of the poor, Mother Teresa said that a pure heart is necessary to see God in each other. To be a peacemaker may be the most difficult. I thought a lot about this particular beatitude, especially in light of all the violence that's going on in our world today. We need to be moved to suspend our own judgments, our prejudices, and emphasize that with others who are different, there really isn't much of a difference, because we're all children of God. That's a tough one, because we all have our own little attitudes and stereotypes. I remember when I was going through formation, one of our formation directors often kept saying, you have to get rid of those stereotypes. It's something we all need to work on, and they exist, but we need to break those walls down. We need to be peacemakers. The Beatitudes call us into a new way of being and doing that can radically transform our lives and the lives of everyone that we touch. And if you recall, each Beatitude begins with the word blessed. Translated from the Greek, makarios, it also means happy. The word communicates a sense of gladness or joy as we find our true identity in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another. Now, in today's world, this might all sound like a lot of foolishness. You might think, oh yeah, it's just another sermon, it's those words. It might be a utopian dream for some. But just pause and remember the words of St. Paul from our second reading. God chose what is foolish to shame the wise, and what is weak to shame the strong. This is what St. Paul refers to as the folly of the cross, where there's victory over death, victory through death. Jesus calls us to look beyond the troubles of our world, all the difficulties, and see the love, the hope, and the power that the kingdom also has at work, often in places where people are that we don't notice, that we don't pay attention to, but they're busy doing God's work. These are the remnant that Zephaniah spoke of in the first reading this morning, the faithful who are quietly doing God's will and work every day, the work we're all called to do as well. Pope Francis said that holiness is not so much about doing great deeds and extraordinary events, but rather daily fidelity to the demands of our baptism. And the Beatitudes really do get to the heart of that holiness. They express the values to which we as Christians are called at our baptism. We are all called to be blessed, to be disciples of the Lord. It's living out what we as members of St. Dominic profess in our mission statement, to seek, know, and become Christ, each for the sake of another. That's our call to discipleship. Now, many of you who are in my age range or a little younger might remember that movie from the 1970s, The Blues Brothers. In fact, part of it was filmed here in Milwaukee. And it's about two shady jazz musicians who are trying to raise funds to prevent the closing of a Catholic orphanage and school. And they go about things in a pretty shady manner, but they made the excuse that they were on a mission from God. Well, when you think about it, that isn't too far from the truth, because in reality, we're all called to be on a mission from God. The question is, are you willing to take up the task? Because if so, then blessed are you.